Did you know Ole Damegard has been awarded the Prague Peace Prize, nominated for the Lighthouse Award, and adopted by the Apache Nation? He's an author and international speaker. He is a Raja yoga teacher, an award-winning artist, former journalist and investigator. And he's dedicated the last 30-odd years of his life to researching many of the global conspiracies. His main focus has been to find out the truth behind the assassinations of JFK, the Prime Minister of Sweden, Olof Palme, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, John Lennon, and Lady Di, plus the terror attacks of 9/11, Norway, Oklahoma City, and many, many more. And he's now considered a leading expert on false flag operations and is believed to have managed to expose and stop several planned massacres. And here he is. Great to have you back on the program, Ole Damegard.
Thank you so much, John. It's an absolute joy and pleasure.
I always like talking to you because you're a rational individual and you're an artist and you have a very tall forehead, which denotes a very large brain. And I admire this very, very much. You know what I'm saying? We have previous brains.
Maybe I need a hat on or something like that.
You know, I don't think it would take much of a clue other than the description of the program to figure out pretty quickly what we're going to discuss today, among other things, but primarily is this thing that happened in Las Vegas. And I'll go first with a very short sentence. Nothing about this looks like a lone gunman just decided to flip out and shoot a bunch of people. And for anybody to try and push that on us as the factual account of what happened, to me is insulting, because I think it's ridiculous. It looks like another one of those deals, another one of those set up Aurora, not Sandy Hook, because I don't think anybody died there at all, at least not until later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing about this to me that looks anything like the way it's being described. So what do you think?
I think we can end the program right there, because I agree. But this one is a tricky one, because it is almost like they made it sort of like into an ambush for people like myself, because at all times during the last year or so, there's so many discussions all the time about these staged events, if people really die or if they do not, or if it's crisis actors and so on. And it's very bizarre, because it's almost like people are more concerned if you say that people didn't die than if you say that people actually died. I would say it's great news if no one dies. But here, I've been contacted by so many sources that I find reliable, that have people that they love and know and so on, that have been hurt and killed in this operation. So it seems like it's a very horrific event that we have to step into very carefully, because, and also I want to point out to right away to start with, just because we discuss different things critically and look at this with a critical eye does not mean that we want to in any way or form harm or injure anyone in sorrow but it needs to be looked at, because if you look at the official story, like you say, it doesn't match up at all. It does not make any sense whatsoever. So we have to find out what actually happened, also in the name of these people that got killed and injured here. We have to find out what actually happened, because otherwise it will just continue. So we need to do it.
I'm in complete agreement with you. Yes. In this particular case, it appears that people were injured and killed.
Yeah.
And you know,
but I think they did it really in a sneaky way, this one, because as we discussed so many times, and as I also presented, I've done hundreds of interviews and many, many presentations around the world. I did one in Copenhagen recently at the Open Mind Conference. It's openmindconference.com, where I describe in great detail sort of the ingredients in these type of operations. And it's, I have to say, it's just spot on when you look at what happened in Las Vegas as well. And since we spoke last, I've actually turned into a verb. Somebody has started calling what I do Damagarding. And so it's sort of the forensic analysis of evidence, looking for clues for upcoming event. That has been labeled to Damagard. And so I find that quite funny, but also really inspiring, because now more and more people are starting to see how these things works, clues that are left there on purpose. We spoke about that, I think, last time, why they leave these clues. And this man who gave me, or made me into a verb, his YouTube channel is actually, I think it's Anaconda Malt Liquor. And he did, just more or less for fun, after the latest Freeman shooting, or alleged shooting at the Freeman School, he did some of what I normally do, trying to look for these clues. And he put up a YouTube video. It's called something like Two Buckets and Freeman, or something like that. And in it, he points out there's a woman in the background in one of these photos from the Freeman shooting, with a very dominant Las Vegas written down her trouser leg. And he said, could this be a possible next one? And he made it almost like a joke. But this was on the 16th of September. And 2 weeks later, boom, here we go. So lucky or true, who knows? But there was more than him also predicting this one. So we have to look at it with a very, very careful eye and look at the details, not jump into any conclusions right away. But at the same time, I tell you, this one smells a mile away.
Yeah, it does. The thing is, there are so many possibilities, but the trigger for me to just go, oh boy, here we go again, was the moment that ISIS decided to claim responsibility. Didn't that do it for you?
Oh, God, right. Give me a break. I mean, as soon as ISIS enters the state, it's just like, give me another headache pill, because the thing is, once you start understanding that ISIS is actually a creation by the CIA, Mossad together, as funded by the Saudis and so on, as a boogeyman, because they always need an outer enemy to pull these things off. And in peace, in times of peace, they just create a boogeyman. That's how Al-Qaeda was created. It's Al-Qaeda is actually the name of CIA's own database. It means database in Arabic. And it's the Al-Qaeda is the name of the CIA operatives in Afghanistan that they trained and educated against the Russians. Then when the Russians left, what are we going to do with these guys? Well, let's turn them into terrorists. And so it has been funded, supported, trained by these forces, CIA, and so on. If it's inside the CIA is very active inside the US as well, but the FBI is extremely involved in these attacks as well, mostly in the training, supplying trying to put innocent individuals into the position as patsies, and then afterwards also cover the whole thing up. I'm not saying every single FBI agent or CIA employee, absolute, or NSA or DEA or whatever, all of these alphabet agencies. I'm talking about rogue elements inside these organizations that have just gone totally berserk and off the rail. So, as we discussed many times, I can go through some of the ingredients in a false flag operation, and then we can just compare and see, did this happen here as well?
Like the way that you structure your talks. You lay things out very logically. On the other hand, what I do is I kind of do the 3x5 card on the cork board. Go, wait a minute, we're going to save this. Let's put this down here. That's for later, and then we'll put it. But I see similarities between the Benghazi incident and this. I think, I'm just saying this is what I think at the moment, subject to change. But when you examine the possibilities for a motive, what could it be? Okay, there's the official line that a man went insane and decided to murder a bunch of his fellow citizens. Okay, number two, a man decided to go insane and murder some of his fellow citizens, not because he just because he was insane, but because probably, as the fired CBS executive said, well, a lot of these people were probably Trump supporters. Okay, that's possible. Let's see, what else could it be? Instill fear into people, make them think that even where they're, when there are cops all over the place, you're still not safe. Make people stay at home, blah, blah, blah. But you know the one that keeps popping into my head? A gun deal, another gun deal that went bad, and they just decided to change tactics on the fly and start shooting. The timeline is all kinds of messed up. And of course, the other one is, it was a planned shooting by the intelligence services. FBI and CIA work together all the time. Now, for a while, FBI was stateside. CIA was not to operate inside the United States boundaries. That's changed, though. Apparently, somebody mentioned it recently. I wish I had that instant recall, but some little modification has been made to the law that allows CIA and FBI to work together here. And you know, in the 90s, even, we started hearing about FBI investigating things that were going on overseas. It's like, well, wait a minute, FBI's investigating overseas. I thought they were just domestic. I thought CIA did that. Then I saw the movie Sicario, where you've got Emily Blunt, a little FBI gal, and suddenly she finds out that, I see. So if you're with FBI, then CIA can operate inside the U.S. And vice versa. You can take FBI across the border. And that movie didn't get very much play, but I'll tell you, it revealed some really good things about how these people operate. So that's all I've got, and I'm ready to just sit back and hear your analysis of this. But I'm going to stay with the gun deal went bad. This is a setup. So you know what? We're going to teach these guys the lessons. You try to mess around with us, well, we're going to mess with you. And other than Paddock, where are the other shooters? Because we know damn well there was more than one gun going off at the same time. You can hear it. Oh, it's acoustic. It's reflection. No, it's not. They tried to prove that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only rifleman with a similar acoustic test that one of the networks did down there. Oh, they had cameras and microphones all over the place, and they're measuring, you know, the echoes and where they come from. They're shooting from the sixth floor and all this. Yep, Oswald did it. Well, Oswald didn't do it, and all they were doing was just covering their backsides, as always. So I'll stop now and turn it over to you.
Well, John. So where to start? Listen, what I normally use is Farmer Brown logic, and that has worked quite well for me. 1 + 1 = 2. You know, there is a logic to things. There is, especially when it comes to security, you know, we're now talking about Las Vegas. It is built up by the mob. I mean, it's built up on mob money. And the mob has been in bed with the CIA, these intelligence agencies, all the way back into the 50s or further. And it's when you look at, for instance, the JFK assassination, there's so many of these individuals that when you look at them, yeah, they were working for the CIA and a hitman for the mob. And then they were paid by the FBI as well, and sometimes the Secret Service. And it's like, it used to be very confusing for me too, because I thought, well, this book must be wrong and this researcher must be wrong. And no, that's the way it works. It's just like different sides of the same coin. Nowadays, you cannot tell the difference. I mean, and the CIA in the old days, when they had to take out someone on U.S. territory, they just used the mob because they were officially not allowed to kill people. That's so nice of them. So they're only allowed to do it abroad. We welcome that not. But anyway, so this whole thing about that it's by the law, these forces do not care about laws at all. They are way above them. They just fly right over the top of our heads and couldn't care less. Same with the forces inside the government that are giving them free reins and so on. And also the government recently, the US government, I think it was a few years ago, they put a law in where it was allowed for them to pull off false flag operations. It's right there in writing. They cannot be prosecuted for it. They cannot be sued for it. And why on earth would they do a thing like that? Why would they put a law in there if they wouldn't have any plans? So keep that in mind.
Yep.
Then we have, this is the money place of, I mean, it's the center of big money. So it would also be the center for people that wanted to steal big money.
Sure.
Meaning security is super high. There are cameras everywhere. I mean, in the streets, in the corridors, in the casinos, in the bathroom, you name it, there will be cameras. If you even count cards in your head, they will come and get you.
There's a detector somewhere that'll pick it up. And isn't it interesting? I don't want to get you off track, but isn't it interesting that the United States federal government owns just a percentage or two, less than 90% of all the land out there in Nevada? And yet, the two things that are illegal in most of the country, that would be gambling and prostitution, are completely legal, which is actually kind of telling, you know?
Anyway. But this is the thing. Welcome to this world of absolute double morals and no honesty, no, I mean, we're talking super criminals here, okay? In the government, in the mob, in the whole setup, in the agencies, we're talking about super, super criminals. So we look at that. Where's all the CCTV footage? Please show it to me, John. There must be hundreds of cameras that have filmed things from the shooting. There must be hundreds of cameras. There must be in the reception when he carried in all of these weapons. I mean, he didn't carry in like a little Derringer in his inner pocket. He pulled in arms for a whole platoon, and not a single footage, video footage of him at all. I mean, we're talking severe weights that have been carried in bags that are not visible in the room at all. Loads of ammo. I mean, these are this is heavy. There's a reason why many times you have like a machine gunner. There's a guy bringing the ammo next to him and feeding it and so on because it's heavy and so on. This is a guy with no background in with weapons, no background in shooting and so on. And even though that, he brings in, it depends on who you trust, but anyway, up to like 34 different guns to this room. I mean, just in case one of them wouldn't work, he would have 33 other ones to use, you know. Then they say, no, but the reason why he hasn't been filmed is because he used the service elevator, you know, for the staff. So are you telling me that they have, if they are in a place like that where they mistrust people, clients, they would not check the staff? There would not be cameras in that elevator?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the most likely place to bring something up is the service elevator, but gee, nobody thought to put a camera in there, right?
Yeah, big bummer in the security. Ay, 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 ay. You have to check that out. Also, as far as I'm informed, the Mandalay Hotel has recently installed metal detectors. So what about that bummer again? Because there, Mr. Stephen Paddock managed to, I think he must have bypassed all of these bags with heavy artillery around the scanners and passed through them, maybe in a swimming suit, then got the whole thing back on and went up to them. So that's pretty well done by him. And also to be able to shut down all the CCTV footage in the whole area, pretty well done as well, Mr. Paddock. So that's one. In these things, there are always the drill. There's always a drill beforehand where, in, now if we talk about this as a possible false flag shooting, the term false flag comes from a naval term in the old days where instead of nations like Great Britain, Spain, Holland, and so on, when they were traveling around in the world, just invading countries, raping, plundering, stealing, whatever, instead of always doing that and being looked upon as the bad boy by neighboring countries and so on, somebody came up with a PSYOP saying, why don't we just put the targets flag on one of our ship, then we let our own ship attack ourselves, and then instead of us being the attacker, we're the victim, and we just need to defend ourselves, meaning they could do exactly what they had planned to do, invasion, rape, and plunder, but being looked upon as, oh, that was amazing, it's incredible that they managed to do that, and everybody would applaud them, they would be the heroes, and they would just do it. And this has been used in the hundreds. I mean, so many, 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 many incidents are actually false flag operations. And that is also when it comes to many of the wars in modern time that the U.S. has started and so on, and other countries, but mostly the U.S., are based on false flags. It's a standard part of warfare, both on international territory, but also in the home backyard. Not always military operation, but it's a psyop. So it's a matter of being the one that looks like he's attacked is actually the one who's attacking. That's the whole thing. You have to be aware of that swap. It's a psyop. And also, it's very important to understand the old problem, reaction, solution. This is also crucial to understand what's going on. Problem, reaction, solution. This is an old Roman template. And it works like this. The few in power secretly create a problem, like a mass shooting, like a terror attack, alleged terror attack, like a virus scare, like a financial crash, something like that. The reason they create this is to get an emotional reaction from the population, just an outcry of absolute panic, saying, oh my God, we need protection, we need protection. And then we turn towards the ones we think are there to protect us, not understanding that it's actually them who are doing it, saying, please help us, help us. And they will then say, well, the only way we can help you in this very difficult situation is, and boom, in comes the solution. And the solution every single time is something we would never, ever have accepted had it not been for the problem. Problem, reaction, solution. Problem, reaction, solution. Very, very important to understand that one. So you always have to see when something like this happens, what is the solution we're being offered? It will be there. It will be there right in the background, just waiting and in on state, boom. So in my latest presentation in Denmark, I also talked about what the targets are nowadays, because we, if I'm correct, and I think my credentials are getting pretty big since I've been able to predict so many and even stop some of them. So how have I been able to do that? It is because they leave these clues in the evidence. That is the whole thing. From one operation to the next, they leave them often hidden in plain sight, right in the center of photos and in the middle of evidence or blown up things or whatever. Small little signs of what is the next target. And I've been informed by insiders that the reason they do this, I don't know if it's the only reason, but this is what I've been told, is that the way they, the elite few, interpret the law of karma is that if they tell us what they're going to do and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. So they are very aware of, since they are doing, I mean, they have messed with the world in such horrific ways for such a long time. So that I can totally understand that they are freaking out about if this law is really working, so that they want to get rid of as much bad karma as possible. But I think that is just absolute baloney, because I think you cannot avoid that one. It will hit back. Anyway, so that is said to be the reason why they put the clues out there. And it was in, I think it was in the fall of 2014 that I was told about this. I couldn't believe it to start with. And then once I started seeing, my God, it is true. That's why I focus so much on finding the clues. Where's the clue? Where is the clue? I know it's somewhere here. And this is also why I've been able to predict these ones. And so were there any clues here? Yes, there were. And the drill, if we go back to how a false flag is set up nowadays. There is a drill, there is a patsy, there is an investigation, there is sometimes diversion, there's always the solution, and so on. So let's have a look at the CCTV cameras did not work. That is absolute standard procedure every single time. Cameras in the hundreds that you've just spent billions installing using tax money, when things like this happen, well, very sorry, but for some reason, we have no idea. Well, I tell you, if you were a company and I've just spent like a few million dollars installing this high-tech whatever that is checking whatever I'm doing as a normal citizen, and then something like this happens and they don't work, I would fire your butt. I mean, you wouldn't even be able to see the smoke. Boom, this company would be out. But the companies that they're using, one of them is called ICTS, an Israeli company, they're used again and again and again and again in airports, train stations, all over Europe and in the US as well, and so on. So I would say shape up, get your cameras working if you don't want us to mistrust you, which I totally do. I totally do. So was there a lone patsy? No. Yes, there was. There was the lone wolf. This Mr. Stephen Paddock that we're being told is the one that had carried all of these weapons up there. And so did he have a motive? No. Everybody's like, no, it's just the worst mass shooting in the history of the US for no apparent reason. So we look at that. Why a lone crazy guy? Because that is also a standard ingredient. The way they want him alone is then by law, there's no conspiracy. A conspiracy is when there's two or more individuals that are involved in criminal activity with the intent of committing a crime. So, and it actually means conspire. It means to breathe together. So this whole thing about conspiracy theories, that's a CIA term, by the way, started after the JFK assassination, to be used against someone like myself who are just raising critical questions. But as soon as you add the word theory, that gives you the doubt, and you can just be dismissed.
So there's no patsy whatsoever. Is it? This guy has to be the real thing. You know, when you there are a couple of things here. One of them is, I mean, I can't prove this. It's just what I think. It's just intuition. But when I look at this man's face, he looks like one of those guys. He looks like, dare I say it, I see CIA all over this guy. You know, now one minute he looks like some mountain man that's a hermit. And the next minute he's kind of got that, hey, I'm a connected guy. And, you know, it's kind of a rough life and it's a hard life, but I love it. You know, he's got that action adventure look on his face that some of those guys have. You know, like you take some BLM agent like Love, and he looks just plain crazy. I'm just finally home to kill, man. I'm ready to kill. Let's go. Let's get our gear and go, man. We're ready. This guy's more like, he's more laid back. Like, yeah, I know some CIA guys. So what? Yeah, it's a great life. I like it. You know, I'm untouchable. He's got that, I'm sort of untouchable look on his face. Go ahead. Sorry. I see you started to say something.
No, it's just that if you believe that he is the guy, that's the whole thing. This is the photo that is being presented to us as this is the guy, this is Stephen Paddock. Anyway, the police gave the address, everything, but that the Stephen Paddock that lives on that address and who owns like 30 different properties, have pilot licenses, all kinds of, he doesn't look like that at all. It's not the same photo, but the one that really looks like this one is, what's his name, Gene Rosen, one of the Sandy Hook absolute crap crisis actor witnesses. Mm-hmm. Anyone who doubts the Sandy Hook thing, please go to my website, lightonconspiracies.com. Go to the shop. There's one free version of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook by Jim Fetzer and Mike Palasek, where a lot of top researchers from the US and the rest of the world have put together one book that just goes through the whole step by step by step. It's 475 pages or something like that. I did both the interior and cover design of it and so on. So I can please download it for free and read it, and then we can talk again about did Sandy Hook happen or did it not. So But in this Sandy Hook event, there's one of these people that is said to have taken care of the children that jumped on off a bus. He took care of like six of them in his garden. That looks a lot like this individual. I mean, they could be almost twins, even though the ear shape is a little bit different and so on. But the guy that is said to be Stephen Paddock looks totally different. It's not him at all. So there's a big confusion around that. Also, the photo of his Philippian, what do you call it? Philippian girlfriend? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Filipino.
Filipino girlfriend. Sorry about
or in
that.
In her case, Filipina.
Yeah, if you look at the woman that is said to stand next to who we're being told is Stephen Paddock, she's a lot younger than the one that we are then presented with that is said to be his girlfriend. Two totally different individuals, and two totally different individuals, this Stephen Paddock individual. So also in these operations, very often the patsy is created out of thin air. You know, the CIA can easily create new identities. Most of these active agents and undercover agents have multiple identities. I'm a friend with a couple CIA whistleblowers and so on. That, I mean, they, like one of them is Chip Tatum. He had multiple identities. He had loads of money to move around with when he was taking care of a task. And he was also involved in false flag operations during his career, as were Robert David Steele, who's speaking openly about this as well. So this is not a secret that these agencies are using false flag operations. So we have a look at, let's take the shooting itself. Here it said that he knocked out two windows, one inside his suite and one from the room itself. Two different angles, down, shooting towards this area where this concert was held. Okay, so one other thing is that as far as I've been informed by people working at the hotel, they have a special system. If one of these windows get cracked or smashed, there's a security thing with an alarm going off saying, because it's these buildings are high-rising buildings, not a good idea if there's a big hole in the window. I mean, somebody might fall off. So they have a security system saying, beep, 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 please check window this and this. Here he was allowed to just knock it out, knock, knock, knock. Okay? And then he started firing about 200 rounds inside the corridor after two employees, one security guard and another employee. 200 rounds, and he just managed to wound a guy called Jose, I think, in the leg. The other one managed, he's okay.
200 rounds.
That is the official story. Where are the photos of all of these rounds? I mean, we're talking about heavy, heavy, I mean, caliber guns. These bullets would have just penetrated into surrounding rooms and so on.
Absolutely.
And also the security guard is said to have called security and the police saying, we are on floor 32, they're shooting. Yet it took 72 minutes for the police to locate where the shots came from. Good job. I mean, you really had to applaud these type of individuals. 72 minutes, that is 1 hour and 12 minutes before they managed to find the right room. I mean, what were they blindfolded? Were they deaf and dumb?
Okay.
Was this taken out of Dumb and Dumber or some movie like that?
Yeah. No.
So then we have the shooting itself.
Right. I'm sorry. I just almost had a spasm here because I heard 72 minutes one time and then it dropped off the scope. And now you've just said it.
Yeah, but that was...
I did hear 72 minutes. I did see it, but it's pretty much gone now from the...
Yeah, but that is how these operations are done. The real story, to some extent, gets out there, and then they clean it up. I mean, that's why you have to download stuff right away, right away, right away, right away, right away. It's by hour, because something pops up, boom, they shut it down.
Yep.
And now the censorship of YouTube and social media is just ridiculous. I'm going to show you the latest one. It's just incredible. I mean, they terminate accounts right, left, and center. So let's go back to the shooting itself. what many people, I think is that if you get shot, you die. But if you speak to surgeons and doctors, they say, no, the chances of survival is very high, actually, even though you get hit by a gun. Hit in the head, many people survive these shots as well. So you need to be a good shot to have a high percentage of kills. I'm sorry to speak coldly about these things, but there you go.
Well, it's true. So here we have the case of Seth Rich. He was shot, what, 3 times in the back, and the surgeon there, that supposedly he leaked out his report. He said that he would have survived. He was going to wash him out the next morning and let him go. So he was shot 3 times, what, in the back, and it wasn't fatal. He's seen those kind of wounds many times. And he said the victim survived. So that just goes to your point, that's all.
No, so you have officially 58 dead, 59, including the shooter. That changed now. So suddenly somebody was revived. So it's down to 58. I don't know how, but this is also a tendency when these things happen. The number of dead and wounded, especially the wounded one, just keeps going up and up week by week. So if it follows the normal pattern, in 2 weeks' time, there would be 717 wounded, okay? Just be aware of it. So we have 515 wounded and 58 killed. That is more than 10% of people dead. That is 1 in 10 that died from a gun wound. And the distance is quite far. This is somebody who is not a good shot with automatic weapons. I mean, maybe you could do that if you were a good sniper with a single action, you know, sniper rifle, that you could actually get that amount of kills with that number of shot. But it does not match up at all. And then they say the difference when in the stories about how long the shooting was going on for is just very, very, it just differs like this. And also the way they use the numerology, we're going to come into these, the numbers, these Freemasonic numbers, it's like 32, 9/11 you have with the date. And also at the press conference, the police said, well, the shooting lasted between 9 and 11 minutes. That you would normally say approximately 10 if you were a normal person, but here 9 and 11. I'm just pointing this out and then we can go into it afterwards. Then you see, inside the room, there would have been tons of shells, empty shells. You don't see them at all. Where are the bags that all the guns were carried up in? Where are... It said that he committed suicide. I'll go back to the lone wolf. The reason they want him alone is by then because there's no conspiracy by law. The reason they want him crazy is because then there's no motive. Or fanatic, same thing. He was just a religious fanatic. That's why. They do not want you to look into the motive of it, okay? So here we have that exact thing. And if he's then suicided on site, case closed, thank you and goodbye, go back to sleep, folks. Well,
wasn't the first report that the cop shot him?
Yeah.
First it was suicide, then the cop shot him. Now it's back to suicide.
I mean, make up your mind. That's what I say.
Pick a lane.
But then they've released photos of him when he's shot. The first thing is like when you see inside the hotel room, the guns are just spread all over the place in a very strange way. There are very few shells, empty shells. There's no ammunition that you see. There's no sort of like the guns positioned in the windows or anything. They're just spread out like... And then it is said that he committed suicide because apparently he regretted what he did or what, I don't know why, but apparently he did. And so you see his leg is in under one gun. You don't see the whole body. You just see half of the body up to the hips. And then you have the head part also. So up until the hips, it's like very strange because he must have been sitting with straight legs underneath to get it in under the gun on the floor and shot himself in the head and then fallen backwards. They say that there's also a note, so a suicide note, But then when you talk to or you listen to the police who said that they entered the room first of all the people there, they said that this paper was just that he had calculated the angles and sort of how to, because of the distance of the shooting. That's what a pro would do. You know, this guy is apparently no experience whatsoever. And so I totally doubt this suicide note as well. Then you see the part of his head. And it, I mean, it looks gruesome. There are lots of blood out of the mouth and then a pool of blood under the head. But on top of the blood are empty shells. They are not covered by blood. They're on top of it. Do you see what I'm saying here?
I do.
No. That is not the way it would be. You would have empty shells and then time for me to say bye-bye, cruel world. Boom. And so you would fall on top of them. The blood would come on top of these shells, but they're not. This is an arranged photo, I tell you. And you cannot say that it's this Stephen Paddock either, whoever this Stephen Paddock is, the real one or the fake one or whoever. So then we look at, they say, but we saw the muscle flash from one of the windows. Well, they're from multiple windows. They're from the, it's very hard. I haven't seen any from the 32nd floor, but on the 10th floor, you can see the stroke. But there's another video from one of the people that were at the concert, and she films, it's 15 minutes before the shooting starts, and she just pans this camera over the crowd and over the hotel, and you can see a strobe light in one of the windows. But there's no shooting, there's no sound, you just see this light. And there's another one where one of these people that I must say I totally suspect are not real witnesses, some of them, he's standing talking about how he was helping his friend and so on. And in the background, you can see the strobe light. This is like way after the shooting, but you can still see it. So just to see these strobe lights, you cannot say that they're connected for sure at all.
And how about the one that I always send a series of photos to help. Look, I understand playing around with cameras and chroma keys and green screens, everything else. The cameras play tricks. But some of the stuff looks very real. But I noticed that when you see a dead body, you know damn well that's a dead body. There's a look about them. It's overly relaxed. Let's put it that way. It's just, you can tell. And I've noticed that in these photographs, the ones that look like they would be pretty rough to view are the ones where the victim is quite a ways away from the camera. Some of the other ones that were taken a little bit closer, I really don't want to put any fly in the ointment here. It's just an observation. And again, it could be a trick of the light. It could be the interpretation of the image that was being taken by the camera. But some of that blood doesn't look real. Some of the photographs that have been released into the public, I don't believe they were taken at the scene. That's really what I mean. I think they were taken somewhere else.
Now you're into something here.
Okay.
Because if you remember also what we were talking about in the last few interviews is that during the drill is there to get vehicles in positions, crisis actors in position, directors, catering, all of these things in position. These drills are normally the days before this event happened. It's also for rehearsal so that they can get everything right. But also during these drills, that is where they take, this is my opinion, that's where they take all of these high quality photos so that they make damn sure that they will get these perfect shots of terror that will then be spread out through international media. It's also where they do what I call the catwalk of terror, where somebody with a cell phone, also always the vertical, walks around among the wounded. It's often very blurry. You will see so-called victims are lying around. You can more or less never see any faces on them, anything that can be identified. If they're not surrounded by medical staff, they will always be with other civilians and so on. And this person will just like walk up and down and just like, oh. And just because it's shaky, we think, oh, it must be real. No, it's just somebody that is doing it to make it look real. But here we have again, there was a drill, a Homeland Security drill, before this happened. There was also an active shooter drill for some of the employees at the casinos just up here. There were trucks, so-called moulage trucks. These are U.S. Army trucks that are inside. They are like a makeup studio where they can get, they can prepare everything from amputee actors, you know, for war exercises where people, it's good practice for them to work with people that look blown up and with arms missing and head missing and so on. And I have a friend who was signed up to one of these crisis actor operations once, and he was actually inside one of these trucks. So he swears that that is what they look in, like inside. And you have in the background here, you have at least one, possibly two of these trucks right behind the area, or right to the side of the area where this whole thing took place. Okay, so you also, you will also have like during the drill, they will take video footage. Somebody will like, and just like the camera goes like this, and oh, like this. Look at what is happening. Look at what is happening. And then when it actually goes live, the day that it goes live, they mix the two. They blend the two so that you will have real footage, but then they blend in the things to cover their own butt, because that you will never be to be able to see the real thing. This is what they've done in this operation. I can almost guarantee you they do not want to leave any real tracks. So what we see are not the real people being shot, because apparently people have really been shot. But what the footage we see is not real. It's from the drill, most of it. But it's being mixed. And then they say, and now live from Las Vegas, boom. Do you know, there was one time in Libya, there was, it was during the whole uprising and so on. No, sorry, it wasn't in, it was in Algeria. During the whole uprising and so on. And CNN and other media outlets were pumping out mass demonstration in this and this town square of this, in this city. I had a friend that was on location. He went there. He called and said, there's nothing here. It's totally empty. Do you know, everybody's sitting at home having dinner. But what we were being fed with in the West was this, you know, and sometimes they even make, they say that, oh, it was in Libya, and it turned out that it was actually in Italy. They made, or India, they made a mistake with the flags in the background and stuff. So we are being played here. That's important to understand, that sometimes media is playing ping pong with our brains. So... would it be okay for you if I show you a little slideshow? I haven't had time. I've been totally overwhelmed with interviews and also trying to sort out what happened here, because it's very confusing. But if I show you a slideshow, a presentation, and just go through some of these things that I would like to point out.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Good. So I share screen here.
Yeah.
Let me do the... Boom. Du, 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 du. I'm getting there. Where did you go? I'm sorry, John. Where did you go?
What?
There you are. There you are.
Here I am. Yeah.
There you are.
Oh, okay. Now you're gone.
So,
where am I?
Can you see this?
Screen. Okay. Ooh, who's that guy?
So.
It looked like the guy that embarrassed the Beatles.
Okay, so here, first of all, I just want to show this one to you. First of all, I love this one. Do you know, one of my friends just got his YouTube channel terminated. They hit so hard. As soon as you put anything up there that is really critical, they say that due to our new rules and due to rules against harassment and racism, we have terminated your account and so on. But this one, yesterday I received this. One of my friends had got the YouTube terminated the account and then sent this one. It says here, members of the YouTube community have expressed concern for your well-being. We care about you. We encourage you to take advantage of the following resources. Within the United States, call blah, 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 blah. The trained counselor of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline are available 24/7. You can go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org or text with a trained crisis counselor through crisis text line, anonymous, free emotional support, or go visit selfinjury.com. Safe Alternatives is a network and educational resource base committed to helping end self-injuries behavior. Visit the SeoulReach.org initiative, provided information and resources about self-injury to those who self-injure. And so, I mean, are you kidding me? Is this so that somebody asks critical questions and you say, this individual suicidal or into self-injury or needs counseling? Welcome to 1984, George Orwell. Here we come.
No kidding. No. Now let me ask you this: was that put up on the site of someone who posted something?
Yeah. It was when they closed down his account, they sent this one. But what my friends are, what they're doing is that they're just they. It's like this. I mentioned Anaconda Malt Liquor. He's now, it's called Anaconda Malt Liquor 8 or 9 or something like this, because it's been shut down eight times. And then he just starts up anew and anew and anew. And what I've done is that anyone that is very serious in their research and doing a great job, what I'm doing is I'm offering them, come to my website. I'll publish your videos. I'll publish your articles under my sort of umbrella, where you can't be shut down as easily as on YouTube. So it's, but social media, Facebook, Google, they're hitting so hard. Do you know, like, if you go, somebody said to me that she was looking for me in Google, false flag operations. She said I came up on like page 24 or something like that.
And right, for sure.
How is that possible when, well, anyway, I'm not saying anything, but it sure sounds a bit strange to me. First of all, I just want to say what targets they are aiming for. They're always aiming for iconic targets like that has a national identity most of the time. So in Europe, it would be like the Eiffel Tower, Big Ben, the Colosseum. In the U.S., if there's alleged terror attacks, it would be some kind of place that has this national identity and also a touristic value, so that as many people as possible get emotionally affected by it. So in the U.S., it would be the Twin Towers, the Statue of Liberty, Times Square, and Las Vegas, not to forget, or Seattle, the Sheer Tower, something like that with an iconic national identity. When it comes to mass shootings in the U.S., or I'll just go back to terror attacks, when they do terror attacks, especially in Europe, they aim for mostly centers of communications, like airports, train stations, bus stations, and so on, but also with vehicle attacks. The last year, there's been so many vehicle attacks, anything from trucks to vans to cars, that are just driven straight into crowds and or being alleged terror attacks with vehicles. The whole reason for that is problem, reaction, solution. Oh my God, the vehicles must be the problem. And in on stage comes the solution, driverless vehicles. That is what they're on their agenda. They're really trying to push that forward. And also, please see that more or less all of these alleged terror attacks happen in NATO countries or countries that have security agreements with NATO or the US. So it would be NATO, US, Australia, and Canada mostly when it comes to these things. Then when it's mass shootings, they go emotional, so it has to be young children, teenagers, and women. Otherwise, old buggers like you and me, or not that we're old, but that wouldn't really work. So they aim for children, and same with like if they blew up a few cows or an old hospital, something like that, it wouldn't work. So they go for schools and where, or daycare centers, these are the things to get the emotions going. And nurses, nuns are also favorites to get involved sometimes afterwards. But now, because they're running out of targets, they've tried so many of these in Europe, all of the iconic ones, more or less. So now what they've done, they changed the platform into arenas. So because in arenas, you can get the same effect in a hit, you know. So they will start, and they've started already, aiming at these big, like, sport events or rock concerts, pop concerts, and so on. And the reason for that is you will have lots of people there. It will be emotionally an incredible impact. Everybody will fear everywhere where there are these concerts or sport events. But also the artists that are performing, since the same forces that are behind these operations control the music business to a large extent, a certain number of artists are keep repeating around these. They keep appearing around these alleged terror attacks. So here we had exactly one of these in Las Vegas, an iconic one. Here's this demogarding that he did. This woman after the Freeman school shooting, you can see her pants, Las Vegas. And that was the thing that he pointed out, because sometimes this is the way they put it out there.
Now, what is this? And why is that woman on the phone there with Las Vegas down her pants, grinning? I mean, where were those people staged just then?
This is some of the footage that was released after the Freeman shooting.
After the shooting. After the shooting. And she's on the phone grinning.
But there you go. You will see it's called duping delight. You will often see that people are talking about how their best friend got murdered and blown to pieces, and they're smiling, they're laughing. I'm going to show you some examples. But this is a psychological phenomenon called duping delight. It's like when some people know that they're lying and manipulating you, they just can't stop smiling or laughing. So very often when you hear these people that have gone through horrific events, turn down the volume and check out the body language, check out their facial expressions, and you can tell right away, I mean, come on, that is just not real. But I've been asked so many times about these attacks. They say, but how can they do it right in the middle of a city? How can they do it in broad daylight and so on? And I'm going to show a short video here. It is a commercial for a TV channel. But what they've done is that in different cities, they just placed like this column with a red button. And on it, they put a massive big arrow saying, press the button. And then they placed a lot of hidden cameras to film it. And this is what happened when, I think this was in Belgium or something like that. This is what happened when somebody pressed the button. Thank you. Okay, now this was a TV commercial, but had they not had this roll down thing in the end, what would these people think that they've just seen without, I mean, take away the rugby team and or the football team and the naked lady on the motorbike, but otherwise than that, this is how it's pulled off. These are staged like film things, but right in the front of people, and that are then being told, oh my God, it was a terror attack, it was a terror attack, it was a terror attack. And they believe what they saw, and who wouldn't? So I'm just showing how it's possible to pull one of these off.
Well, that's extraordinary.
And yeah, and they did it in several different cities. You know, so the thing is, the only thing you need is a few minutes where you block off streets around the whole area and then pull it off. Often nowadays, what they do is first they clean the area by having what looks like, appears like police in police uniforms that are running around screaming, get down, he's got a bomb, he's got a bomb. So they clear the street and they shout, get in the shops, lock the doors, and so on. So they can empty a whole part of a street that are normally packed with people. Everybody runs into the shops and thinks that it's already happened. But it's first when they're inside and everybody's locked in, then they carry it out. You know, it's totally against normal police behavior, because a normal police behavior, I've spoken to several police officers with many years experience, they say their job is to come in more or less like John Wayne and just say, stay down, keep calm, I'll sort it. Not to start panic, but that is what they do. And you will see that in country after country after country, what it seems to be police are running around screaming, run, 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 you know, creating the panic and emptying the area, and then they carry it out. So here we have this Route 91 harvest. It's been going on for several years. And you can see the Mandalay Bay Hotel right in the background. It said that there were 22,000 people there. And once again, I had to ask you, if there's 22,000 people watching a concert, there should be maybe at least 21,000 cell phones there. Is that too much to assume?
No, that's really not too much of a stretch at all.
So where are all the normal photos? Where are all the normal videos? I mean, we see a handful. And I mean, normal people, but many people even take photos of their hamburger and put it on Facebook. And here is some of the worst thing, trauma they've ever experienced. And you're telling me not a single photo, not afterwards, for hours. Where is it? What you will see are these high quality images that are being spread around, same photographers being spread around, high quality, and nothing. There should have been thousands of photos up on Google images and so on. Where are they? What they've done, what they've started to do now is that not only do they shut down the cell phone net, which they've done on many, including 9/11, in the area, suddenly they just block so that you cannot call. And then afterwards they say, yeah, but it was because thousands of people were trying to call home and say, I'm safe, I'm safe. No, they block it because it's essential for the people behind this operation to control the flow of information, at least in the beginning, so that they can get their version out there and then shut the rest down. And what they've also started to do is block the internet in these areas as well. So it's both cell phone coverage and internet coverage. So it would be very interesting.
Go on, I'm sorry.
No, please.
Well, what happened to this? These reports that were popping up from, granted that the sites were a little dubious. You know, some of them take credit for, the trains, everything from the trains running on time to the last solar eclipse. But be that as it may, cell phones and laptops being seized by FBI, laptops and cell phones of concert goers, and then they finally get them back, but they're all wiped. Now, all the data, all the text, all the numbers, all the data is wiped on these things, I can see a reason to release a report like that, even if it were not true, just to add confusion to the mix. But what are you hearing about that?
What they're doing, I'm not sure how they do it, how it's done. I know that here in Spain and in other European countries, as soon as something like this happened, the local authorities more or less demands the population not to upload any photos on the internet. Because they say also that people like myself are sort of like just dwelling in the gore and spreading all of this horror and making life hell for people that experienced it and so on. But that is absolutely not the case. I mean, here, I ask you, John, we have the Pentagon. It's only the most protected building on the globe, I think, if it is a globe or whatever on Earth.
Were you trying to keep the flat earthers from getting mad at you or what?
No, I don't know. I don't flat or oval or round or whatever. I don't know what it is. I mean, I think we have to focus on more important issues right here and now.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
afterwards, we can have a look. But until then, the thing is, I lost the thread now. But anyway, where are all these photos? Where are all these photos? So this is, I didn't have time to put it together properly, but this is more or less the view from the window where he said to have been shooting. So you see the distance. This is not a super easy target. It's somewhere between 300 and 500 feet. No, sorry. Yeah, what is it in American? Is it 1,100 feet, something like that, I believe. So, and with an automatic weapon, I mean, you hear that he's using automatic fire. So even though it's a massive crowd, to get that number of deadly hits, it's I totally doubt it. I totally doubt it. And here's inside his room, what we're saying, what it looked like, the weapon spread out on the floor. And also there's so many things that are sort of playing on connections with the old Egypt, with the Freemasonic rituals and so on. And I think that the way they put these two chairs together, it looks almost like a sacrifice type of thing. I don't know if that's for true. And also, what kind of carpet is that? Is that really what it looks like? Isn't it horrendous?
I certainly hope they're not charging too much money for that room.
But here you have, after he committed suicide, you see his foot is in under the rifle that is on, or this machine gun that is on a stand.
Stupid.
So how did he get his foot in there when falling backwards? And here's somebody pointing out the light of a second shooter. But I don't trust these ones since they appear also afterwards during interviews and also before, but I'll just point them out anyway. Oh, sorry, apparently I won't.
Right there, baby. That's fourth play, not the 32nd.
Right there. One more time.
Can you see it? It's totally the wrong floor.
Yeah. Yeah, that hotel is 136 meters tall.
Yeah, and these are so-called grip trucks that are normally used on film sets. Inside, they are like anything you need for a film shoot is inside. You know, anything from makeup studios to lighting to electric equipment and so on. And here is one of these trucks that were on location at the U.S. Army. It's called a moulage truck, where you go in on the side here, and these are normally used at these, where the military are using them for their exercises to prepare so-called crisis actors and so on there. So I must say, what was it doing there is right next to the place where these killing fields, or whatever you want to call it. So I find it suspicious. Please have a look at this one. I love the text. je suis hypocrite. Here you have how you can mess with your mind. These are people after the Charlie Hebdo incident, and according to me, a lot of these individuals directly involved in the operation itself. And it looks like they're very brave. They're walking on front line in front of the masses of the people. But then there was another one, somebody that was not involved in this film shoot, that took a photo from a different angle. And can you see down here? It's a totally staged area. There's no bravery whatsoever. It's closed off there. And they're just in the front line. It looks like there's a million people behind them, but it's not. It's an illusion. So then here is where I come to a critical one when it comes to Las Vegas. I'm going to come back to who did the shooting of this one. But please count how many people do you actually see here. Do you see 22,000 or do you see maybe 60? Have a look at this one. Oh. It feels like it jammed a little, but this video, normally you don't know who did the shooting of these videos, but I found out through a friend of mine that his name is Sean Hoff, who is a crisis director, or no, casting director in LA, in Hollywood, who just happened to be there. And what he's doing, he's filming side, but the people you actually see, there's a little wall. So what you see is in total, I think around 60 people, some of them standing up totally empty. Take away the sound of the gunfire. And what are we looking at? We're looking at a small little group of people. I would very much say that this video was shot during the drill in the evening before, or two evenings before this went down. And then they mix it with the footage where you see all of these thousands of people on this in front of this concert. So, dear Mr. Sean Hoff, would be great if you could please answer a question or two. Here's his, he's got a whole long CV, and here you can see he's casting director for the casting department, who would also be someone that if there is a drill with crisis actors, he would be a perfect person for the one who put it together. Now, most people, when it comes to eyewitnesses, I found over all of these years that most of the time they belong to either film, theater, media, or the government. They have government connections. They've got a connection to film or theater or to the media. And this guy, very much in film theater, you will see several of the other people that are being interviewed as witnesses and so on are directly connected to, they're quite, high profile people in media or film or theater and so on. And just as an example, at the truck attack in Stockholm, I managed to track down 24 people in total that appeared on TV, radio, and newspapers internationally giving interviews about what they saw. So there were 24 people that say that they actually saw something. So I'm just going to go through them. Every time I say tick, that means that they belong to one of these three groups, okay?
Okay.
So tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick. Is it getting boring? Tick, 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 tick. Are you starting to see a pattern here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last three ones that I haven't been able to find the connections, but I can almost guarantee you there's some kind of connection to either the government, film, theater, or media. These are the areas that they can control. And also, it just keeps repeating. We're back to, I'm just going to show a few examples of this duping delight we're talking about, where people can't stop laughing. Now, these are twin sisters that were shot. Both of them were shot in Las Vegas. You can see how miserable they are. I mean, one, I think she got her lung punctured, and the other one was hit in the hip. Does this look likely to you? There's another woman that she's telling the story how she got somebody inside that carried into a car and then drove up to the hospital. Does this look like a traumatized woman that has just been part of some horrific thing? These are just like, you see at least 24 wounded. It's so early. So it ended up 515. So you can see how early it is. And she is so happy already.
Yeah, this does not appear to be a triumph of the human spirit moment, I'll tell you that.
No, and I'll just give you a few other sort of parallels between different operations, because you will see that it's the same theme being used again and again. So here in the Barcelona attack, which was also totally staged, there was a film star, media, we're back to film theater, that she said that she got so afraid from this van driving down this street hitting people that she hid in a freezer, as you do. I mean, I don't get it, but apparently that is a safe spot. And so here in Las Vegas, food saved my life, says Vegas massacre survivor who took shelter in a McDonald's freezer. Oh, it was even fast food that saved my life. Do you know, so it's, I mean,
with
these
a latch
two
inside,
events.
I suppose. Well.
But would you write, if somebody was shooting at a rock concert, okay, maybe you would run and hide at McDonald's, but would they let you in and hide inside one of these massive big freezers? And why? What are the parallels? I'm just showing a few of these very odd things that appear again and again. And then we have this amazing product placement where, you know, like here, it was at the Fort Lauderdale shooting. This English guy, he was saved by his iMac. The guy at Fort Lauderdale was shooting all over, but thank God he had an iMac, so the bullet stopped the iMac. So John, just so you know, next time if anybody is aiming a gun at you, pull up the laptop and you will be safe. Here, after the Bataclan massacre, we had a guy. There was a suicide bomber, they say, that blew himself up, and a piece of shrapnel flew and was going to hit this guy in the head, but his Samsung phone saved his life.
Oh, amazing. I'll tell you, I want one of those. That sounds great.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And no sign of the suicide bomber, not even a drop of blood, no explosion, no nothing. So how he managed to pull that one off, I don't know. And here in Manchester, this woman was saved, her iPad saved her. So, and now in Las Vegas, iPhone saves woman during life shooting spree. It's a woman's rose gold iPhone. It's not even just an iPhone, but it's a rose gold one. Saved her life after stopping a bullet from hitting her.
What a bunch of nonsense.
It's the same. And here, an injured over 525. Now the injured are up to 525. Can you see? I said it's going to rise. It's just going to go up and up. After the niece alleged attack, every time I say attack, put the word alleged before it, because I am still to find a real attack, terror attack. And there, it was 84 dead, they claimed, from this truck attack in Nice last year, or the year before on the Bastille Day. And to start with, there were 202 wounded. A week later, 303 wounded. And 2 weeks later, 404. How is that possible? Normally, the number of dead goes up because some of the injured dies. because of the, if in a normal thing, the injuries are so severe that some people might die, meaning the number of dead goes up and the number of injured goes down. Here it just keeps rising and rising. Why? To add to the emotional impact. And then we have product placement. I mean, here you can see this is way after. I mean, it's totally empty here. Everybody has run home, gone home. No police, no nothing. And then a guy hiding behind a Malibu rum thing. Okay. And it turns out that the photographer, his name is David Becker, Las Vegas photographer. He was also the photographer at the Malibu, where they presented the Malibu drink. Is that a coincidence or not?
Most assuredly, it's just not an accident.
And here we have like the way they use crime, they reuse them. Here's after the Stockholm truck attack, where the prime minister, the Swedish prime minister, who's a Bilderberger, is shaking hand with this police officer who, as far as I can see, he was nowhere near when it happened. He's not on any photos. He's not doing anything, but he's being said thank you so much in front of media. And here he is again. This is the Brussels airport attack where he's dressed like a pilot. And also the same guy appears in a firefighter outfit in Brussels at the airport as well. Go figure. Multi-talented guy. One thing also with these crisis actors is that many of them seem to have a criminal background, you know, so they have a record. And like this guy who is the hero at the Charlottesville car attack, he's the guy that is said to have been hit by the car, but before that he pushed away his girlfriend, which was so brave of him. And then he flies over. He's the guy hanging in the midair on this photo that is being pumped out there as this is what happened. The photo of terror. But he did a very serious crime a few years ago and was facing at least 20 years in prison. And then suddenly the charges were dropped. And I tell you, this is how they do it. This is how they recruit crisis actors. They make a deal. They cut a deal with them. Okay. We get you off the hook. You're facing 20, 30, 40 years, whatever they want to give you. We get you off the hook. The only thing you need to do is next time we need you, we will pay you well. You might become a hero, you know, famous and so on. The only thing you have to do is play along and shut up. Quite a few of them.
Or you're going back to jail. I mean, there's nothing that'll get people's attention like being offered a deal where if you hold up your end, you'll be fine and all of that. But if you don't, you're going to go to D block or something, you know?
Yeah. And then they have people, crisis actors, sign confidentiality agreements so that if they even whisper about anything, they would be sued from here to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower who has been involved in these kind of operations during his career, he said it's so easy to control a group like that. You pay them well. And you keep them under surveillance, a tight little group. You have controllers around them, bodyguards. And what you do, if there's sort of like there's a rebellion sort of rising, the only thing you need to do is gather the group and bring in one of them and beat him up or kill one of them in front of the other ones or bring in somebody's grandmother or dog or something like that, slit the throat and end of story. So cold. It's so cold and so efficient. And now you can rent a crowd. There's in your beautiful country, in LA, there's a company called Crowds On Demand. You can rent your own crowd. They will help you with anything you need. Protests, rallies, flash mobs, paparazzi event, PR stunts if you're a failed politician. And need people cheering at you in the background at photo shoots, rent a crowd. If you want a riot, rent a crowd. If you want a pop star with fans, rent a crowd, and so on. So now you can rent that. And this company, where I can almost bet, were deeply involved in the Charlottesville thing. And you can also, there are companies now where you can rent a mourner, you know, rent a fake mourner It's called rentamona.co.uk in the England, and there are similar things in the US as well, so that you can arrange fake funerals. Or if you were a hated individual, you can just rent your own, so to make sure that you looked like you were well-liked when you were alive. So we're looking at illusions. That's the whole thing, illusions. And if you remember, John, we were talking about these shoes, the secret communication that the people behind this operation that use, because the power structure behind the economical interest in operations like this, because we're talking big, big money as well, they cannot afford that there's like an email trail, or that you can, overhear or do phone calls that can be recorded, or letters that can be traced, or anything like that. So what they've come up with, I believe, are like secret small signals that will tell anyone in the world that is in the know that this is our operation. This is our operation. And the thing that I found is the shoe. The shoe, the shoe, the shoe, the shoe. And what they do is more or less always Nike shoes. And they place them very central and just shows, so that for normal people, we just see, oh my God, it's so tragic, or somebody died and lost a shoe. But for them, it's a sign that our operation, we're in charge. So here is outside Ankara, where there was a terror attack. Here's the latest London Bridge attack, where after I started pointing this out massively, the number of shoes have gone down incredibly. They used to be all over the place, but now they're, as you see here, there was one shoe in total, but it was placed extremely central, wouldn't you say?
Poor shoe.
Then you have here the Charlie Hebdo one, the shoe. And you will see that after they run back, after allegedly having shot this police officer, who's, by the way, doing great. He lives in Buenos Aires. He was paid $666,000 for playing a dead cop. And he's a Mossad agent, and he's told to stay away for 6 years before he's allowed to come back, I think after some minor plastic surgery. But here you will see that that shoe, when the two shooters run back into the car and take off, the guy on the passenger side picks up the shoes and throw it inside. So it's part of the operation. It's not just a shoe lying in the street. And here, after the Westminster Bridge attack in London, where all of these ones since 2014, I've done like 2 hour interviews breaking them down in great detail, so you can find it on YouTube. But here, after the Westminster attack, this man is said to have tried to save the life of this police officer that is said to have been stabbed to death. And during his efforts to save him, he lost his shoes. And then the very next morning, in morning TV, English morning TV, he was invited. So since he didn't have shoes, he lost them. Well, I would say put some other shoes on would be an idea. But instead, he appeared in the TV studio without shoes. So what are we seeing here? They're sending out the signal, our operation, our. And it's also part of Freemasonic rituals, that you take off one shoe that shows that the individual is voluntarily taking part. Two shoes off shows that it's homage to the sacred space or the sacred ritual that is being carried out. Here's this alleged police officer that was stabbed to death, they say. And he was stabbed several times. And what is this the way you do when you save somebody who's been stabbed? But look at the whole picture. It's like almost like a religious image, where it's like you can hear the angel choir in the background. Hallelujah. You know, the shoes or the feet. Here, after the Barcelona van attack recently, where these children are running around, oh, it's so awful, awful, awful. And what are they carrying? A shoe. Very central in the picture, a shoe. And here we have Marcus Martin, we saw before. And I tell you, this thing is a rigging belt. He's got two belts on. I pointed out in different interviews, it's a rigging belt that is used for stunt jobs. This one is part of the stunt. And if you see here, if they have just, with a little Photoshop job, very easily done, I could have done it myself. if you follow this angle straight up here and you look at Google Map at the exact position where he is, there is a phone pole, a light pole with a vertical steel barrier where it's perfect for rigging a stunt like this. So I tell you, the only thing they've taken away on this photo is this steel thing. There's a second stuntman there. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but that was a whole setup there as well. So here, shoes. I mean, this is what happens when you get hit by a car. You lose 5 shoes.
Yeah, it happens every time. And that's clearly a rigging belt. You can even see the metal hardware on it. That was excellent.
And then here you have the car in Charlottesville when it reverses away from the crowd.
Yep.
Look what happens. Can you see?
Yeah.
It's like leaving a business card. And by the way, the whole front and the front bumper of this car is attached with a steel wire. You can, I've gone frame by frame and pointed out that steel wire is not there as an original part. It is there as a stunt car to make it look very dramatic. We're being played, that's the key. And so in Las Vegas, were there any shoes there? Well, you have these shoes, and how appropriate with the American flag. This image has become an icon for the heroic resistance against terror now in many areas of the U.S. And they've even made an interview with a guy who he said to have been shot in the leg. They're home interviewing him. He's walking around, hardly with a limp. And the interview ends with, he's going to go and see the doctor tomorrow to see if there's more pieces left of the bullet. I mean, there's not even a Band-Aid on his leg. It's in our face. Here you have another one from Las Vegas. Isn't this what you normally do when you walk home from a concert when you've been shot at? Take off the boots and walk like that. They're sending out signals here. These are part of the psyop. And also check out her shorts. Same colors as the American flag. And then the image being spread around, this is an Alaskan newspaper, but it was at the New York Times as well. Blood and a shoe. And then here we have somebody is being interviewed, a witness, and they say, well, you can hear him. There's just been like 515 people injured and 58 people killed. So what, as a reporter, would you focus on? Let's see what it goes.
And Taylor, just to show people what you went through, you lost your shoe.
Yeah, I lost my shoe when someone fell down to get cover over me. I have someone's blood right here and also on my chest.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. You lost a shoe. What the hell is that? So, what's the significance of that? Nothing.
Exactly. For normal people, it's just ridiculous. But it's sending out the message, our operation. It's our operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman or the girl next to her, you know, we were talking about media individuals and so on. Now, this young woman here who's standing, I mean, none of them looks especially shocked or anything. Is they've just been shot at. They've been crawling around among dead bodies and so on. And so who is she?
How much shooting was going on and then not being taken down? And like I said, there's definitely someone on the ground. Did you have any friends?
On the next, Dr. Phil, do you know a narcissist?
This is their favorite item.
I love looking at myself in the mirror.
Charming.
Their favorite word is
me. My daughter believes that she's better than most everyone else.
My world revolves around me.
And there you go, once again. There's quite a few of these high-level icons, or whatever you want to call them, but in media. So another thing, when these things are carried out, assassinations and terror attacks, when lives are being taken, very often they erect an obelisk within 100 yards within a year or so, or a pyramid. It would be a pyramid or obelisk, these Freemasonic symbols. Sometimes these symbols are already there because for some reason they have been placed there. I don't really understand the logic, how they do it or why they do it. But here, for instance, is where the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme was shot. Here was this obelisk was erected 1 year after, totally in a very strange way, out of it's not symmetric at all, but it's exactly when you're standing looking where he was shot and you look where the shooter ran. You will see every single day people say, well, he ran that way, and they would point straight to the obelisk but not see it. I didn't see it for a long time before I started becoming aware of it. And this building here, which is an insurance company called Skandia, used to be the headquarters of Gladio, where the Swedish Prime Minister was part of building it up together with the CIA director William Colby. And in the courtyard is a big glass pyramid, just as in the Louvre in France and so on. So here we have in Dallas, I was looking for, did they put an obelisk here or a pyramid or whatever? And here, you know, the in Dealey Plaza, it's shaped exactly like a pyramid, Dealey Plaza, where you got Houston Street, Main Street goes like this, and then Elm Street and Commerce Street like this. But at the exact top of the pyramid, which is where I'm standing there on the bridge over the triple underpass, when you stand exactly there, this is what appears. Can you see that? Yes. That is the top of the Wells Fargo skyscraper. But it's designed so that if you stand exactly there, if you are in the know-how, you will see, yeah, baby, we did it. And everybody else have no idea. They're just walking around, oh, isn't it a cute, the little blah, 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 not seeing these secret signals that are being sent out. And so when Martin Luther King was killed, he did not die at the Lorraine Motel, as we're being told. He survived the gunshots, but he was put in an ambulance, and they had arranged the people behind the operation, where one of them involved with Jesse Jackson, I'm very sorry to say. Another one was Billy Samuel Kyles, a reverend. They were part of setting up this assassination. And when part of it was that they wanted to make absolutely sure that King was dead. So they arranged for the ambulance to pick him up and drive him not to the nearest hospital, which is also standard. They didn't do that with Lady Di or many others either. They sent him to a hospital that they controlled. And it was the St. Joseph's Hospital in Memphis. So, and at that hospital, there was a doctor called Dr. Breen Bland, who sent out the people that were trying to save him at the emergency department. And he sent out the people there, the staff, but one of the nurses turned around and saw how he took a pillow and snuffed him. That is how Dr. Martin Luther King was killed. So before that, I looked around around Lorraine Motel. Are there any obelisks? Are there any pyramids? I couldn't find it. And then once I learned that he didn't actually die there, he died at the St. Joseph's Hospital. So I looked there instead. And guess what I found there? This is right in front. That is right in front of the hospital, 200 yards like that. It is massive. It is massive. It is called the Big Cedar Lodge, Freemasonic. It's gone like a skylight. You can walk around up there. They've got hotel rooms and stuff like that. That is the size of it. And in the evening, this is lit up, you know. I mean, it's so subtle. It's in your face. It's in your face, but we don't get it because we don't understand what's going on. And then we have here, Las Vegas, right in front of the obelisk. No, sorry, the pyramid with the obelisk, the killing field.
Unbelievable, man. Well, Look, if it happens once, it may never happen again. If it happens twice, it most assuredly will happen a third time. And it's happened more than a third time. It just happens and happens and happens. And yet there are people out there who are going to say, ah, this is just coincidence. It's coincidence, all right. It's more like coalescence. It's not necessarily just coincidence. This is absolutely deliberate. I believe it's absolutely satanic. I believe that it's absolutely Masonic. All of those things. I really do. I mean, I have kept my distance from anything that would be judged to be just some, you know, pipe dreamed up theory. You know, just pack your bowl full of pipe weed and sit there and dream away the most stupid thing that you could possibly come up with, the most outrageous thing you could come up with. But I'll tell you, you can't make this stuff up unless you're really, really sharp. And I don't think anybody's sharp enough to make up something like this and spread it out over this kind of a timeline. I mean, this is a long timeline.
Yeah, and I'm just scratching on the surface. I could go on for like 5-6 hours, no problem. I'm just trying to make it in short little bits because it's just being repeated. But I found another thing that they're using as a secret communication thing. They're using color codes, meaning that anyone in the know-how, the only thing they need to know, what is the color? What is the color? And that specific color will then be very central in the operations. And then, it's ours. It's ours. It's ours. No, that one is not, but this one is. So in the US, the color that is currently going now in this effort to totally overtake and destroy the US, the color is deep purple. It's a deep, beautiful color, purple color. And you will see it, it's like anything from funeral, required dressing, the balloons, like in England, when the stabbings at the London Bridge, even the knife was purple. When people were interviewed, one of the witnesses, the girl next to her, with purple hair. It's just purple, purple, purple. Also in the news, on the media, the TV studio backgrounds, same color. When it's their thing that is following that exact topic, boom, that color, that color, that color. And coincidence, but check out the ownership of these TV channels, these TV studios, these networks and so on. Who are owning them? And you will see, you come back to the same head of an octopus that is just spreading its tentacles. So deep purple is the color. I know that it sounds like the rock band, but this is the color. And you will see here is Marcus Martin from the Charlottesville. Here is the background. Also, this mother of the alleged killed woman, Heather Heyer, it's turned out that she is the exact same crisis actress as one of the mothers to Victoria Soto in Sandy Hook. And she's also been playing another one. And you can make it, you know, with these facial recognition software, because the thing is our faces are just like fingerprints. There's distances between nose, ear, eye are very unique for every single one of us. So you make these overlays, and when there's a perfect match, boom, you can make sure it's that individual. And this woman has been in at least three of them. She's good. She's good. She's good at looking sad. And also Heather Heyer, that is said to have been hit by the car, she's lying down in the street, quite a beast, I mean very overweight, when you can see when the car never hits her, but it said that the car killed her. But then the mother in media just happens to say, well, she died from a heart attack. So they can't even keep the story right. And also you will see I've seen here in Europe, like different TV channels, different newspapers, when these topic comes up, it's that background color for the headlines and stuff, like a very unusual color. So it sticks out. And you see here when Hillary came back, you know, both her and dear Bill, I mean, these, in my world, super, super, super criminals with a body count behind them that is just horrendous. And what is the color? Boom. It, some people refer to it as the George Soros Purple Revolution. And here, when Trump came, what was the color of his tie when he went around in the hospital and so on? I mean, that could be a coincidence, but I just want to point it out. And there was one sheriff that was being interviewed around that, and on his arm, this wristband that was from the for the concert goers was purple, that exact color. You can also see when they run around, there's especially one that is filming his own arm when he's running around among victims that looks real, one of the few times that they look real. But what he's doing is he's saying, he's pulling up the clothes and saying, no entry wound, no exit wound, no entry wound, no exit wound. As you do when somebody's dying in front of you, part of the drill. It was part of the drill. And that whole thing about when you said that you know a dead body from a real one, I tell you that time is over. They have simmer bodies, they're called, or dapper cadavers, that are so lifelike, you can even operate on them. They got all the intestines, they got blood inside, they can move. I mean, it's scary, but so it's very hard to know nowadays what is what.
Wow, this is
amazing. And then I just want to show out one company that I think last time I showed you crisissolutions.com.
Yeah, they changed their website right after our talk. You know that?
They shut it down.
It's gone. That site that we saw is gone.
No, it's back up now because I pointed out that it's gone. Then, but here, there's another company. I tell you, this one is a big one. It is, you can find it on YouTube. It's called Sarco. And it's there's especially one, this is the video I'm going to show you now. It's called, I think it's called The Biggest Company You've Never Heard Of.
Yep, just heard about that recently.
And here you have the CEO. Check out the color of his, what do you call these ones?
That guy is the CEO of the company.
Say again, please.
I say that fellow there is the CEO of the company.
Yeah, it's actually Sir Winston Churchill's grandson.
Okay, doesn't surprise me at all.
You see the color of the suspenders he's wearing? The exact color.
Oh, yes.
So let's see if this works.
This is the Serco Group. They run all 7 immigration detention centers in Australia. But they do lots more. In fact, they're probably the biggest company you've never heard of. Governments all around the world outsource to Serco. They run half of London's traffic lights, all of Dublin's, and in Ontario, Canada, they test you for your driver's license. Serco are also the largest air traffic controllers in the world. They've got 54 towers in the US, and they control Baghdad's air traffic. They even maintain the RAF squadron the Queen flies on. All over the planet, Serco are moving people, from metros in Dubai to buses in Adelaide. And they're good at stopping people from moving too. Serco will soon be the largest operator of private prisons in the UK. And they're very efficient at it. In one prison, they increased capacity by 20%, simply by putting beds in the toilets. In another Serco prison, a 14-year-old hanged himself after being assaulted by Serco guards, the UK's youngest ever death in custody. But don't think Serco aren't good with kids. In Bradford, they run all the state schools in the district. Serco is the model of a modern multinational, and that's why they're the right company to keep us safe. They've been running the UK's ballistic missile defence system ever since it was outsourced 40 years ago. In fact, they look after Britain's entire nuclear arsenal, from creation to decommissioning. But wait, there's more. Serco are so good at running things, they even run time itself. That's right, Serco have the contract for setting Greenwich Mean Time. And Serco just keep getting bigger. Since 1994, they've grown by 1,200%. How have they been so successful? CEO Chris Hyman puts his success with Serco down to listening to God. Now, you might think things like nuclear arsenals and border protection are best handled by the government, but that's not a problem for Serco because about 85% of their workforce are ex-public servants, so they have all the training and connections necessary to handle big government contracts. In Australia, Serco have a presence on every military base, run every immigration detention centre, 2 prisons, cross-country trains like the Indian Pacific and the GAD, and they're bidding on more contracts right now, including one to run prisons across New South Wales. So, even if you don't know their name, chances are you're caught in their web. Serco, bringing service, the lie.
Oh my God, look at that.
Can you see here how it's possible to pull off controlling bus stations, bus traffic, airports, CCTV footage, security systems, even when people are, patsies are taken, you know, like he's put in prison and then he's taken to court and whatever. If they control it all. They control it all. And I tell you, Serco is one. They, in the James Bond movie, it's called Spectre, but the real name is Serco. You know, that is my impression. Isn't similar type of thing.
The real name is Serco, not Spectre at all. Ole, I was wondering if it might be possible for us to... I'm sure you've got some more, don't you?
No, I've had enough. No, I haven't had enough. I haven't had time.
You're making this up, man. Well, I'll tell you what. I have your number, and I'm going to give you a ring here in just a few minutes, if that's all right.
Okay.
Okay. And I want to thank you very much for your presentation.